Sometimes when people feel that they have the call of God in their lives to do something, well, something he's just called them to do. The first obstacle is, well, how am I going to fund this call? Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at God's faithfulness from a different perspective. And please stay tuned, because in a few minutes I'll also be telling you about our free daily devotional Fresh to help you live in the love and the faithfulness of God. You know, one of the truly scary things about building a house is finding the money to pay for the build. Over the years, I've been involved in the renovation of some old 19th century terrace houses, or row houses, you might call them. And those sorts of builds always have surprises, and a surprise equals money with lots of zeros on the end. So many people hear God's call on their lives. God has a plan for each one of us, and his heart is to see that plan happen. But you know, the thing that so often stops people from walking in that plan is, well, let me put it succinctly, money. Great, great. So God wants to use me to build this house or that ministry or this or that. Great. But how am I going to fund that? I mean, exactly where is the money and the resources and all that stuff going to come from? And that's not an unreasonable question. I've seen so many people out there trying to do God's work without any real sense, any real biblical understanding that if God has called us to be part of building his house, whatever that involves, he will always, always pay his bills. I mean, would you expect anything less from God? Over this week, we've been looking at this wonderful verse, Psalm 127, verse 1, which says that unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labours in vain. So often people are living out their own plans and they expect God to fund those plans. Let me tell you something. My heart experience is that God will always come through and fund his plans, but I've never once seen him come through and fund plans that I've made independently of him. See, there's a clear distinction. And one of the best explanations of how that works comes from the book of Acts. See, the apostles were out there preaching Jesus, and the Jewish ruling body, the Sanhedrin, wanted to stop them. Have a listen. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin, and he ordered that the men be put outside for a little while. That's the apostles. Then he addressed the Sanhedrin. He said, "Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do with these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be someone, and about 400 men rallied to him. But he was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He was killed too, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case of these apostles and Jesus, I advise you, leave the men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it's from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God." See, that's how it works. If our plans are our own, they will fail. But if they're from God, no one, not the Sanhedrin, not the government, not the authorities, no one will be able to stop them, because they'll be fighting against God. God's plans, no man can stand against. The plans of men will fail, and I see that even in ministry, when people head off without Jesus to go and do something, they fall flat on their faces. I want to be clear today, I'm talking about God paying his bills when we're building his house according to his plans, whatever that means in your life, not our house according to our plans, okay? So let's go back to the story we've been looking at this week. It's the rebuilding of the temple after the Babylonian exile. Remember, Israel was in the promised land and they weren't worshipping God. They were worshipping other gods. So God brought judgment on them and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem and took the people and made them slaves in Babylon for 70 years. Now they've come back, and God's plan is to restore his people and restore the temple and restore Jerusalem and bless and prosper his people. And King Cyrus, the king of Persia, who overthrew the Babylonians, he's not one of God's chosen people. He's the dominant world power at that time. He could have stopped them, but it was Cyrus, used by God, who opened the way for the rebuilding of the temple through a royal decree. See, what looked impossible when God's people were exiled slaves in Babylon became possible when Cyrus overthrew the Babylonians and opened the door. Have a listen to Ezra chapter 1. "In the first year of Cyrus, the king of Persia, In order to fulfill the word of God spoken through Jeremiah, the Lord moved in the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, wrote. "The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he's appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any one of his people among you, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem. And the people of any place where survivors may now be living are to provide those people with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem." So the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, the two tribes that were going back, and the priests and the Levites, everyone whose heart God had moved, prepared to go up and build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and all their neighbors assisted them with articles of silver and gold, with goods of livestock, with valuable gifts in addition to freewill offerings. Moreover, King Cyrus brought out the articles belonging to the temple of God, which Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon had carried away 70 years before from Jerusalem and placed in his temple. See, Cyrus overthrows Nebuchadnezzar. That's an absolute miracle to the Israelites. He sets the Israelites free from slavery and exile. But not only that, he makes a royal decree that they are to go back and to make it happen. And he also makes a royal decree for the Israelites all to give money towards this. Valuable goods, gold, silver, livestock, freewill offerings for the temple. By royal decree. And on top of that, Cyrus gives back the gold and silver that belonged in the temple. Now, I want you to notice something here. There are two components to God's provision. The first is the miraculous through Cyrus, not one of God's chosen people. God does that sometimes. I've seen him open amazing doors in places I never would have thought we'd have access to for these programs. He uses people and organizations that I never thought would help fund God's work through this ministry. But the second part of this miracle is God's funding. See, God's people themselves were commanded to give to God's work. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about this. I've heard people grumbling, you know, the Christian radio station holds a marathon to raise funds, or at the end of the program, I'll sometimes tell people how they can support the work of Christianity Works around the world. I had one grumpy email recently saying, "Don't solicit money from me. Jesus doesn't." But you see, right through the Bible, right through God's work, this is how God works. God calls God's people to fund God's work. Let me say that again. God calls God's people to fund God's work. Maybe he's called you to be part of work through this ministry or that or whatever it is, or through your local church and your local community, whatever it is. That's between you and him. But here's the point. He plans to use all of us, and that includes our wallets and our checkbooks. He blesses us so that we can bless other people. You know, when we get around doing God's work, he will always fund what he begins and what he plans. And often, almost always, that is through you and through me. When we are called to do God's work, to build God's house, God always pays his bill. See, God wants our hearts. And Jesus said, wherever your money is, that's where your heart's going to be. God wants our hearts. And that's why he involves us, not just with our skills and abilities, but with the money that he's given us. Building God's house according to God's plans, when we do that, he always pays his bills, and he uses his people to do that. Before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional that I'd love to send you to help you draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh, a powerful scripture verse together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to the inbox on your smartphone, tablet, or computer each and every day. You can read it, listen to the audio, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. It's God's Word fresh for you each day, and it's completely free. To get instant access, just stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up right there at the top of the homepage. And when you do subscribe, you'll instantly receive a free copy of the e-book, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? That web address again, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. So go ahead, sign up to receive Fresh, and may your heart be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.